The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
We as a country really are deeply, deeply divided. And I think if you could jump in your little time machine and go back 35 years, 35 to 40 years, probably the guilty culprits in really dividing us as Americans, the case, I don't know if it's really true, but you could make a case that it was the right. The conservatives were divisive and dividing us, and the liberal left, you know, back then loved to portray themselves as, we're for peace, man. Peace, not war. We just love. Yeah, man. We love everybody. That's what we're all about. Love. Peace. Yeah. Boy, that's not the case anymore. It is the liberal left that is doing their best to divide us, to and of course, Jesus warned us about this, that in the last days, mothers would be against sons, sons against mothers, and people in your own household would be against, and we are living in those times. Let me give you an illustration. Back on December 6th, about 40 Christians, most of them worship leaders from all over the United States, gathered at the White House to have prayer with President Trump and to sing a little bit. Okay? Can you imagine anybody opposing that? Praying for the president? I mean, even Nancy Pelosi said, I pray for the president every day. Okay, and maybe she does. Well, in the politically charged environment that we're in today, the people that were at the White House are being severely criticized for just being there, especially some of the black folks. Yeah, the black folks are being severely criticized, called all kinds of names because they went to the White House and prayed for the president. Well, some of these black Christian leaders, they're not fighting back, but they're speaking out. Here's the story. Listen to this. Eddie James, a veteran black worship artist and minister who joined a diverse coalition of artists like Carrie Jobe and her husband, Cody Carnes, gathered at the White House December 6th to worship and pray with Donald Trump. He is now pushing back at critics of the group, telling them, check your heart. Quote, anyone who has a problem with us worshiping at the White House and praying for President Donald Trump needs to prayerfully check your heart. Everything this nation needs is found in Jesus. The beautiful people in this picture released his presence, and it was amazing. There was an open heaven over the White House. Republican, Democrat, Independent, if you are a Christian, you would be moved at what God did on this day. I could not have been more proud of the worship movement of our nation. I am humbled that I am even in this picture. Well, he is responding because of the severe criticism. And I'm looking at the picture, and let me just, black folks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the ones I could see, at least a dozen are black folks at the White House to pray with the president. Here are some of the things that other people are saying. Jory Micah, a Christian writer, preacher, and feminist, tweeted Tuesday of this week that Joby, I don't know whether it's Job or Joby. She's a well-known worship leader, and I've heard the name, but I don't know who she is. Carrie Joby. Some of you are going, you don't know how to pronounce her name. Well, no, I don't. Well, anyway, Jory Micah, a Christian writer, preacher, and feminist, tweeted that Job or Joby was her Bible college roommate when she said she was depressed by the worship artist's actions. Because she went to pray with the president, her former roommate, feminist, female pastor, is depressed. She went on to say, I love her, which is why I can't help but be depressed to see her fall into nationalism. I know she knows Jesus. I know she cares for the marginalized, but she's ignoring the fact that Trump is literally caging babies at our border. That was started under Obama. Yeah, check it out. And by the way, that policy was canceled by Trump. Did it continue under? Yeah, it did, but it's now been canceled. And it started not under Trump. It started under Obama. Yeah. Co-host of the Real Hawk Talk podcast, Evan Hill, never heard, argued that Joby and her husband were, quote, selling out Jesus for such cheap temporary power. One of the greatest disappointments of my life has been watching faith leaders back an oppressive, racist, sexual predator as President Trump, selling out Jesus for such cheap temporary power. Shame on you. Now, they supported Obama, who attacked traditional marriage, supported same-sex marriage, supported very strongly the killing of innocent unborn babies. Oh, my goodness. John Murray, television host and pop culture expert, implied that the black leaders in the poster were, quote, poster children for self-hatred. John Murray said, seeing these skinning and grinning black singers at the White House with that fake charlatan preacher surrounding Donald Trump is shameful. I don't care that they claim they were praying for Trump. To pray for this man is to ask God to bless the sin against humanity that he regularly commits against black people and all the other marginalized groups in this country. In spite of the fact that black folks have done better under this president in every measurable way than Barack Obama. Every measurable way. Unemployment, wealth, home ownership, participation in welfare. In every way that you can measure, black people have fared much, much better under Trump than they ever did under Obama. But a whole bunch of people have been brainwashed. And so if you simply go to the White House and pray for the president, you have sold out. You're a traitor to your race, to your... it's this incredible attempt to divide us. And the division is built on lies. Donald Trump say some insulting things? Yeah. Does he offend people? Yeah. Is there any evidence whatsoever that he's a racist? Nope. None whatsoever. In fact, an abundant amount of evidence to the contrary. But as I say so often, the liberal left does not care about facts and truth, but emotion and hysteria. I'm grateful for the black folks that are risking their reputation, sometimes their families, to simply do what they believe is right. God bless them. God bless them. All right, we're going to take a break. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America is quite proud of a recent accomplishment. I'll let you decide whether they should be proud or ashamed. I've got the story for you when we return.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, has made history once again. Yes, the ELCA has ordained, embraced, and installed their very first transgender Latina pastor. Yep, their very first transgender Latina pastor. A he who has become a she. I got the story in front of me. It's from NBC News. It's a 7-page story. Now, those of you who read news sites, how often do you see any news story that's 7 pages long? You don't. 2, 3, 4. Now, sometimes if you pull them up, they'll have 38 pages of comments. I'm talking about the story itself. This story is 7 pages long. Not the comments, just the story itself. And NBC News is saying, this is wonderful. Oh, this is great. They're breaking new ground. Oh, yeah. Okay. The story begins, before coming out as transgender, Nicole Garcia prayed daily that God would fix her. Now, okay. That sentence, listen carefully, before coming out as transgender, that would be before transition, that would be when this individual was living as a man, called a man, a male name, and so on and so forth. So during this time, this individual was clearly a him. But let me read that again. Before coming out as transgender, Nicole Garcia prayed daily that God would fix her. When her prayers weren't answered and the feeling in her gut didn't go away, she gave up on religion. Now, if you read the rest of the story, and I did, I read all 7 pages, it is clear that during this time, this individual was not considered a she. He didn't consider himself a she at this time. The story goes on. Now, nearly 4 decades later, Garcia stands behind the pulpit at Westview Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado, and delivers weekly sermons to a congregation of more than 100 faithful as their ordained pastor. I would question whether those folks are really faithful or not. They're either really dumb theologically, and I say that with compassion, or they're rebellious against God. The pastor said, quote, "Nobody can question my faith, my devotion to Christ, my devotion to the church. That's why I'm the pastor here." So in other words, he, who is now a she, he has made it clear nobody can question the faith. Nope, nobody. Garcia, who delivered her first sermon at Westview earlier this month, is the first known transgender Latina to serve as a pastor within the 4-million-strong Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, an unanticipated position for someone who grew up in the Roman Catholic Church and left religion entirely for 20 years. Now, again, it's a 7-page story, and I encourage you to read it. It's quite eye-opening. This individual was confused about his gender, was married for a time, and got very confused, and instead of really seeking treatment, became a drunk, an alcoholic, and just gave up on religion, became kind of an agnostic, alcoholic, and so on and so forth. Lost basically everything, was living in a trailer and so on and so on, and met a woman at karaoke, and he married her because they met at karaoke and so forth. And this individual says, "I had a come to Jesus moment." But the come to Jesus moment was not a moment of repentance or really turning to God. The come to Jesus moment was, "I'm not going to fight this sin anymore. I'm just going to give in." That is the come to Jesus moment. If you read the story, and I encourage you to do so. Usually when we talk about a come to Jesus moment, we're talking about, "I've been living in sin, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to give my heart and life to Christ, and I'm going to obey him." No, 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 no. The come to Jesus moment was, "I'm just going to quit fighting, and I'm just going to give in to my flesh. I'm just going to give in." And that is his come to Jesus moment. Quote, "In 2003, shortly after she started her transition, she became a Lutheran and soon after began working with an organization called Reconciling in Christ," which, by the way, is a far, far left organization, not only within the Lutheran Church, but some of the other denominations as well. And again, NBC devotes 7 full pages portraying this individual who is clearly disobeying God as a hero. Yeah. Our world is upside down, inside out. Hey, folks, thanks for joining me today. Hope you have a great weekend. Be in a good Bible-believing church. If you don't have one, find one. Drop some money in the Salvation Army kettle. And please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.